Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up, knelt down before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus answered him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments: shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, shall not steal, shall not bear false witness, shall not defraud, honor your father and mother." The young man replied and said to him, "Teacher, all these I have observed from my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You are lacking in one thing. Go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then, come, follow me." At that statement, his face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. So Jesus again said to them, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were exceedingly astonished and said among themselves, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For men it's impossible, but not for God. All things are possible for God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Yesterday in the Gospel taken from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus very clearly told us we can't serve both God and mammon, that we can't serve two masters. We'll hate one and love the other, despise one and be devoted to the other. I mention what Pope Francis said, because once a heart is set on mammon, on the accumulation of riches for oneself, there's no room for faith in God anymore. It's crippling. Today, in the Gospel, we see an illustration of that principle. This good young man runs up to Jesus. Doesn't just happen to bump into him. He's excited to meet him. He wants to have the answer to the one really important question we need to ask in life. "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And he brought that right question to the right person to answer the question. Jesus said, "It's got to start with a moral life. Got to keep the commandments." The young man, probably truthfully, said, "I've kept them all from my youth, from my earliest days. I've walked in the way of the commandments." But he still felt that something was lacking. So Jesus told him, "There's one thing you're lacking. Not you have to get something else. You're lacking giving away everything. You have actually too much. You lack because you're satiated with material things." It's paradoxical. But because he had too much, he was lacking. Not he was enriched. So Jesus said, "If you wish to be perfect, this is what you got to do. Go, sell everything you have, give the money to the poor, and you will be rich in heaven. And then come follow me." That's the path to great perfection. And as we see at that statement, his face fell, for he went away sad, for he had many possessions. It came down to that choice between God and mammon, between serving the one true Lord and grasping on continuously to his stuff. He chose his stuff over God. That's what happens. That's why it's hard for anyone who's rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. And every time we hear this, we've got to remember we're all rich. Not only in comparison to the people who are alive today, even people on welfare. I'm not sure if you saw it last week, but in Massachusetts, person on welfare grosses $50,000 a year. 50 grand in terms of all the other care that comes. Fourth in the nation. $50,000 a year. That's more than whole villages over in Africa. We've all got our stuff. If we didn't have any stuff, and Jesus said, leave what you don't have and come follow me. Easy. Easy. Not leaving back anything valuable. But when we begin to place our heart in the things that are valuable to us, our house because it's ours, our set of wheels because it's ours, our computer because it's ours, our house of worship because it's ours, whatever, that can prevent us from literally following the Lord. It can ensnare us. Jesus was asking this rich young man to seek true freedom, and he was teaching him the way. But the rich young man didn't have the guts, he didn't have the wisdom at the time to cut the cord and to go with the Lord Jesus. Do we? Jesus were to say to you today, go sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and then come follow me. Come follow me as a priest, come follow me as a nun. Would we have the guts to do it if it were clearly Jesus saying it to us? Or do we say, no, I've got all of these responsibilities. Who's going to care for all of these responsibilities? It's an ever-actual gospel. Jesus wanted this rich young man to store up a real treasure. Treasure, he would say in the Sermon on the Mount, that moths can't destroy, that rust can't corrode, that thieves can't rip off. We could add that the IRS can't tax. Jesus wanted him to have that real treasure. But because he was so satiated by an earthly treasure, he wasn't able really to hunger for the treasure that would last. That's what St. Peter was saying to the early church today. He was talking about that treasure. That treasure which is the new birth to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance that's imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. We've got to long for that treasure. We've got to hunger for that treasure. St. Peter was writing that in the context of these five churches in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey, who are suffering persecution. And he wanted to tell them that don't forget the treasure, because when you recognize that that's the treasure, you'll be able to work for it, and you'll be able to withstand those persecutions. Just like, for example, somebody wants to be rich in this world, and he knows the path. Some will study their fannies off to get ahead so that they're able to get that job as an investment banker and make their gazillions. Others will start up from the ground floor up and work like crazy trying to learn the business. And because of their hard work, they keep advancing all the way until they're made the director of the company because they're hungering for that treasure. When we have that type of desire, we will work for it. St. Peter saying, remember that eternal prize. And then, although now for a little while, you may have to suffer through various trials, you won't lose that treasure. This is so that the genuineness of your faith, the treasure of your faith, more precious than gold that's perishable, even though tested by fire, may prove to be for the praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. To have that real sense of the treasure that God already has in store for us in heaven that can't be destroyed. Today we celebrate the Feast of an American who shows us how to get right exactly what the rich young man got wrong. Catherine Drexel was born to a very rich industrial banker in Philadelphia. There were three daughters. When the mom died, her mom Hannah died right after basically Catherine was born. Her dad remarried, but eventually her dad and her stepmom both died. And so when she was in her 20s, she became an heiress with her two sisters to a fortune that was valued at $15.5 million at the time, which is $250 million in our own dollars today. While she was growing up, Catherine and her other sisters used to open up their home in Philadelphia twice a week to the women who were poor, and they were giving them out clothing, they were giving food, they were giving rent assistance. she started to see just how many poor people there were around, and she was going to use what God had given her family in order to be able to share exactly what Jesus wants us to do with what He providentially entrusts to our hands. But she started to read about the terrible state of blacks and Native American Indians in the United States, how there was a huge need for the gospel to be proclaimed to them, and it touched her heart. She took a couple trips on the train to see exactly what the state was, and so she started to be a benefactress. When her parents died, she wanted to become a contemplative nun in a cloistered monastery. But a family friend who was a priest said, "Wait a little bit, Catherine. God may have other plans." So she went to Rome. She had a private audience with Pope Leo XIII to plead with him to try to send missionaries to care for the blacks and the Native Americans in the United States. And the Pope basically said, "There aren't all that many missionary orders." So he looked at Catherine straight in the eyes and said, "Found one." So she did. She took her vast fortune, which would have essentially have been $80 million, and together entered into what she founded, the Missionaries of the Blessed Sacrament, who went throughout the United States and then to other countries, trying to care for those who had no instruction, leading to many foundations, many schools, even universities, like Xavier University in New Orleans, the first university to educate blacks with a college education. Tremendous saint. When it came down to a choice between her stuff and God, she chose God and took all her stuff and dedicated it to the service of those who had nothing, including those who didn't yet even have faith. We have far less than $80 million that we need to dispose of. But we're called to dedicate it all to the mission of building up the kingdom. We might not need to go to Rosebud Reservation in South Dakota, as she did, in order to care for the Native American Indians there. We can just go to the various reservations that are all around our city, where people are entrapped in their homes, where people are tremendously in need. But that's the choice we always face. We can't serve both God and mammon. We have to make the choice. And in our culture, everything is geared to training people to choose mammon. Our educational system has changed. It's no longer preparing kids to live a wise life, to open themselves up through a liberal education in order to see the things that matter most. Now our educational system is basically all geared very practically to helping you get a job, to help you serve mammon and what mammon will give you. We've got to face that straight on. We've got vocational schools, and the vocation is not your vocation to be married or to be a priest or to be religious, but to be a carpenter, an HVAC operator, and everything else. There's a small aspect that that's vocational in the traditional sense when it's looked at as a service, but oftentimes it's looked at as a job. That's different. We've got to face it. We've got to remember that we need to sacrifice in order to enter into the kingdom. Why is it hard for a rich man to enter through a needle's eye to get to heaven? It's not because the soul won't fit. It's not because as a human being we won't fit. It's fundamentally, the early saints said, that our stuff won't fit. If we're constantly trying to drag our stuff along with us, all our material possessions, we won't be able to make it. The only way we can take any of our material possessions with us when we go is by giving it to somebody else. The eternal Cayman Islands account happens by transferring our goods into the hands of the needy and the poor. This is the gospel. May the Lord, through the intercession of St. Catherine Drexel, whom we celebrate today with great joy, give us the grace to choose the Lord as she chose the Lord, and to consecrate all that the Lord has placed into our hands to His service too. Praise be Jesus Christ.